All right.
Long Talk Radio.
Yes, good on. Good on.
Good evening, good evening. We welcome all to our Bible Questions and Answers program. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Tonight is a night designated where men of God will preach the Word of God with sincerity and simplicity, with purity, without addition nor subtraction. I'm Brother Louis Parker IV from the Darien Luke Church of Christ. Also, we have on our Brother Elton Parker Jr. from the Darien Luke Church of Christ. We have Brother Williams from Martin, Texas, and also Brother Jay Johnson from Martin, Texas. Also on our panel includes Brother H. Robbins from Brookshire, Texas, minister to the Brookshire congregation in Brookshire, Texas. So we're just blessed to have so many men servants, sincere men of God who are able to preach the Word of God. We just want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this evening. This program is run every Tuesday and Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. Thursday nights are the night is the night that's designated for Bible questions and answers. If you have a Bible question, then we'll try and give you a Bible answer. Although Thursday night is the night set aside for questions, we'd like our listeners to know that although tonight is Tuesday, if you do have a question, just press the button number one on your phone. Press number one, and our moderator, Brother Brian Brown, will send you on through and put you live, and you can ask your question. So we just thank you so much, and let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach you with grace in Jesus' name. Thank you for this day and the opportunity to declare your message to a perishing generation. Father, help us to be able to stand firm and to preach your word. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. At this point, we'll turn the program on over to Brother L.C. Parker, Jr.
We're just so happy to have you on this morning, and I mean, this tonight, brother, this evening, and we need to understand the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Without this Bible, God gave us instructions how to live right, die right, and have eternal life with Him in heaven. These are the basic instructions, most important book on planet Earth. They write and make billions and millions of dollars and everything, but this is the most valuable book on planet Earth. We need to follow the instructions thereof. Is Brother Johnson on now? From Warden, we want Brother Johnson, if he will, to come on now, and he's kicked us off. If he hasn't come in yet, Brother Williams, you on? You can kick us off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, my brothers. To all of those who may be listening out there in radio land or on the internet, we want you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel that we preach. It is the gospel that saves. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16, he says, I want to tell you in Rome that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is God's power to save every man who desires from eternal damnation, to save us from our sins, to cause us to have that same perfect relationship that we had when we were born into the world without sin. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. He lived a perfect life before that, but he died on the cross and took upon himself our sin debt so that he might pay the price for our sins. Now, as those who have come to know, hear, and understand the gospel, we have a responsibility to believe and obey the command of the gospel to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ so that God can remove our sins from our life. And then, we are following that, we have a responsibility to live a faithful Christian life and count on the grace of God, which is bestowed upon us as a spiritual blessing, to keep us safe and sanctified until Jesus comes to redeem his family, his church, his kingdom, to receive his wife, his spiritual wife, into an eternal heavenly home. So the gospel message is a message of hope. It's a message of salvation. It's a message of sanctification and a message of good news and glad news from the Lord. The blood of Christ has been shed, and it is the only thing that will be able to remove or cleanse man from his spiritual sin. And now every man out of every nation under heaven has an opportunity to be a part of it. The sad situation is that most people are not going to obey the gospel. That's a sad situation, but it's a fact. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, he says to his disciples, "Enter you in at the straight gate, because broad is the gate, broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Man. And many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and only a few will find it." You see, the question today is, for those who are listening, for those who are concerned about their soul salvation, who are concerned about what they're going to endure and what they can expect after this life, the question is, will you be part of the few that find eternal life, or will you be part of the many that enter into eternal damnation and spiritual destruction? Our job, our desire, our preaching, our gospel is intended to give you the hope and the assurance that you can be saved for eternal life with Christ Jesus.
Man.
But you must be willing to obey the gospel. The gospel is not merely a message of good news, but it also has a message of instruction for those who would believe and receive the truth and the salvation that it brings. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world." Why? Because we're looking to Jesus and looking to God for his eternal grace and salvation for our life. You see, the grace of God has come into the world. Mankind has been able to see and to know what the grace of God is. The grace of God is his favor on our life when we obey him. You see, God doesn't save those who don't obey. He only saves those who do obey. And so many folks today are not obeying the gospel. Most people are going to hell simply because God, knowing the mind of man, Jesus already knew when he said that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He already knows, as God, he knows how men are going to react with regard to the truth. Most men are ignoring the gospel and the word of God and the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ and the salvation that God has established for man. Most men are ignoring it. Even worse, there are many who are in religion today, yet they are ignoring and they are not following the truth. They are believing lies and false doctrine because there are false teachers in religion who are trying to make merchandise of people. They are looking, they are seeking money, seeking to satisfy their own bellies, and they are teaching things that make people feel good, and they're lying to them. You see, the gospel requires that one be baptized for the remission of their sins. And we teach this gospel. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, to his ministers, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's everybody.
Amen.
Race, color, political or economic or social status is not a criterion. Every living human being is requested and required to receive and to hear the gospel. So as ministers of Christ, our responsibility is to go into every community, every place, everywhere in the world and preach it. And I'm so glad that God has blessed us to be able to be a part of this global, worldwide ministry on the internet where people around the world are able to log in and to call in and listen to the message of the gospel. But Jesus commanded his disciples to preach the gospel everywhere. And he said this, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
And whosoever believeth not shall be damned. Well, you know, if you don't believe the gospel, you are already condemned to eternity in hell. But if you believe the gospel, then you must not only believe what it says, but you must be willing to follow what it commands. You have to, the believeth means to believe and obey. In obedience to the gospel, we accept and we receive baptism for the removal or the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When Peter was answering those who questioned him on the day of Pentecost with regard to what they could do about the situation of being guilty before God, having sinned, even having rejected God's mercy and God's grace, rejected God's prophet and God's minister, what are we going to do about our circumstance? Peter said to him, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal or the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, the promise is unto you and to your children and even to those who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How are we called? By the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel call, the gospel of grace. God wants the whole world to be saved, but the world is going to have to listen to God's plan of salvation. Men are going to have to obey the gospel. You have to be baptized in order to have your sins removed. You can't be saved with your sins. Those who died under the Old Testament can testify today if they were able to speak to you verbally and let you know, you can't be saved with your sins. Your sins must be removed. But thank God that Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, when he entered into death, when he went into Sheol, he took that shed blood with him, and he freed those who died faithful to God under the Old Testament regime, where you had the patriarchal and the Mosaical dispensations, where men offered animal sacrifice and animal blood as an atonement for their sins. God would only forgive their sins temporarily, but with the blood of Christ, God removes sin utterly. He removes sin as far from us as the east is from the west.
Amen.
Removes sin by the blood of Christ. So Jesus and his blood reach back to save the faithful who died before Christ's death under the old covenant, under the old law, under the Old Testament regime. And it reaches forward to cleanse those of us today who obey him. But the only way you can get to the blood is you have to get to the water of baptism. Now, I'm saying this because in religion today, there are many who have a problem with water baptism. They have a problem with baptism altogether. There are many false teachers in religion today. Many of them don't teach baptism, or they teach that baptism is not necessary for one to be saved. But according to the Bible and according to the Word of God, the truth, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you must be baptized into Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And so we have to tell you the gospel truth. When Jesus said that those who believe and are baptized shall be saved, that's what he meant. Jesus commanded baptism. Who, what person, what preacher has the right to deny you or to decide that baptism is not necessary? Nevertheless, there are many false teachers who are teaching this. There are churches that don't even have a baptistry. Somebody said, we baptize by sprinkling or pouring water over the forehead. Nowhere, ladies and gentlemen, will you find such a practice for baptism in the New Testament Bible. You open your Bible and you can read it from Matthew to Revelation, and you will never find the church that Jesus established, which was started on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You'll never find where no one ever practiced baptism by pouring water or sprinkling water on the forehead of a candidate for baptism. That's not the Bible. That's what men are doing. That's what people are teaching. The Catholic Church boasts over 1.2 billion converts today. And yet, this is what they do for baptism. They sprinkle water on the forehead. And more importantly, they choose to do this to infants, babies. Babies who are innocent of sin, they choose to Christianize them by this process of baptism, and none of these things are taught in the New Testament Bible. Not even in the Bible that the Catholic priests and the Catholic bishops and the Catholic leaders teach you out of will you find such a practice in the New Testament church. Billions of people are believing such a lie, and billions of people are in that Broadway and are going to hell unless they repent and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a burial. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 and continuing through verse number 4. The Spirit speaks to the church at Rome by a letter from Apostle Paul and says, "Shall we continue in sin and grace abound? Don't you know that as many of us, God says no. Don't you know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" That's important because he shed his blood in his death. We got to get to the blood.
Amen.
Therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death. And that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, baptism is a burial. When we bury the dead, because we're dead in trespasses and sin before we contact the blood of Christ. We are dead in trespasses and sin, and now it's time to be made alive in the Spirit. And so baptism is a burial. We are buried as being dead spiritually, and we are quickened. We are made alive by the blood of Jesus Christ through faith in the operation of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But we have to believe what God has said. And so after being made alive, we are raised from that watery grave of baptism, and we are new creatures in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are spiritual alive in Christ. We are the spiritual children of God that we were born to be when we entered this world. The reason we were dead is because we sinned. But now God removed sin, and we are made spiritually alive again. That's why Peter, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 and continuing to verse 5. He told him in verse 3, you must be born again. See, God wants us to enter into that perfect, that sin-free religious relationship, righteous relationship that we had when we were born in this world. And in order to do it, we must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not talking about physical birth now. He's talking about the new birth, the spiritual birth. Nicodemus asked the question. He said, well, hold on, Jesus. Are you saying that I, an old man, must go back into my mother's womb and be born all over again? Jesus said, no. You must be born of the water and the Spirit, or you will never see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is salvation, ladies and gentlemen. You can't have it. You can't visualize it. You can't reap the benefits of it unless you are born again spiritually. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
You are born of the water and the Spirit. That's water baptism. We are contacting the blood of Christ. Our spirit is being made alive by the power of the Spirit of God. And by the Spirit of God, we are sanctified, and that is saved apart from our sins.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what every man has to obey. The President of the United States, the Queen of England, the King of France, the high and mighty, the low, the poor, every man has to obey the gospel and be baptized into Jesus Christ in order to receive the salvation of God. No one is going to be saved for eternal life unless they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we just pray that people everywhere, those who are listening on this call, and we as ministers of Christ, will not only continue to preach this gospel, but that people will obey the gospel. We are begging and we're encouraging people, come out of false religion.
Yes.
Don't stay in a religious faith that doesn't preach the gospel. If you were sprinkled for baptism, you're in the wrong religion and you're in the wrong church. If you were poured on your head water for baptism, you're in the wrong religion. You're in the wrong church. If you're in a religion that teaches that baptism is not essential to your salvation, you're in the wrong religion. You're in the wrong church. This is not what Jesus taught, nor is it what the 12 apostles taught. If you're in a church today that you can't even read about in the New Testament, then you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, nor are you saved for eternal life, nor is the church that you are in going to be saved in the day when Jesus comes back to take his church, his bride, his spiritual family back to God.
Amen.
It's not going to be there. Jesus is not saving the Catholic, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Jehovah's Witness, the Presbyterian, the Episcopalian, the Pentecostal, the Apostolic, the Mormon, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Christian Scientist, and all of them. There's over 600 denominated names that men are using to call themselves Christ's church today. He's not taking those institutions back with him. He's only taking his church, the church that wears his name, because she is married to him. She is the wife of Christ. She is the body of Christ. She is the kingdom of Christ. She is the church of Christ. That's the only church that Jesus is going to save. If you're not a member of the church of Christ, it's because you have not heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel of Christ. You see, those churches that I mentioned, you'll never read about them in the Bible. Don't you think it's strange that you are serving and being taught in a church whose name and doctrine is not even mentioned in the Bible, Yet Jesus' church is in the Bible. His gospel and doctrine is in the Bible. The name of the church is in the Bible. You can read it, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. All the churches you can read about in the Bible, the seven churches in Asia Minor that you read about in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, all of those were churches of Christ. That's the name they wore, because they were local assemblies of the universal church of Christ, the spiritual life. You're not going to read about any other church in the New Testament. We're not going to preach no other church out of the New Testament. You can't find these churches in the New Testament, because the New Testament was delivered in complete revelation by 93 A.D. by the hand of John, the last apostle. And following that, John died in 98 A.D., and the Bible canon was completed. These churches that I mentioned, even the oldest one, didn't have its beginning until after 325 A.D. That's nearly 300 years after the Church of Christ, which started in 33 A.D., began, and 228 years after the Bible, New Testament, was written. Ladies and gentlemen, your church is not in the Bible. There's no salvation in it. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse number 14, the Bible says that the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to and compared with the book of life. Now listen, the books are the record that God has of our lives. God has a book of remembrance for every person who's ever lived in this world. And God is going to compare your spiritual life with his spiritual word. And that is the book of life. The book of life is the Bible, the basic instruction before leaving earth. It is a book of information and instruction. It's not a novel to be read as a casual reading. It's not a story to be told that has no truth or is fictional. It is the truth, and it must be obeyed. And when God looks at his word and your life, the Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's real, ladies and gentlemen. If your church is not written in the book of life, the Bible, it will be cast into hell. If you are in it, you will be cast into hell with it. We can't say it any plainer than that, ladies and gentlemen. Brethren, we can't preach it any plainer than that. That's the word of God. You can read this in your Bible. The truth has nothing to fear. The truth is the light.
Yes.
Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin and eternal condemnation. If you don't obey the truth, if we don't teach the truth, if we don't follow the truth faithfully, we will not be saved by the gospel or by God in the fountain of forgiveness. We won't be saved. We're going to all wind up going to hell. The Bible is right. The Bible is the standard. Every religion that I spoke to you from, that I mentioned, that I spoke to you of, uses the same Bible. But the same Bible does not produce any of them in truth. There's only one church. There's only one Savior. There's only one Lord God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There is only one baptism that saves. There's only one gospel that teaches how Amen. To be saved. There's only one faith that is accepted and that saves you to God. And faith is not belief only. Faith is defined in the Bible as belief and obedience. James chapter 2, verse 19. He says, you believe in God, you do well. He says, but even the devils believe God. The
yeah.
devil knows God. He believes in God. He knows who God is, but he is not an obedient servant of God. That's why he's the devil.
Amen.
His angels are not obedient demons to God. That's why they are demons of Satan. If believing only were all that one needed to do to be saved, then the devil is saved. But that is a religious lie. That's what false teachers have been teaching and are still teaching people today. I know thousands who are believing that false doctrine and who will not understand that believing in God requires obedience to God, because James says again, faith without works is dead. What does he say? Believing without obedience is no value. It's nothing. It's no good. It's dead. Anything dead needs to be buried, because it can't do anything for the living. God wants you to be obedient to his gospel. I charge and I challenge everyone under the sound of my voice to receive, believe, and obey the gospel of grace of God's salvation. Those who don't, going to hell. In Revelation chapter 1, pardon me, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, around verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back to judge the sinful world, he's coming back to avenge his saints and to punish the wicked. He'll be coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't obey the gospel of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to heaven. And if you haven't been taught the gospel, then you haven't obeyed it. See, one thing you can't do, folks, you can't be taught a lie and obey the truth. That don't work. You can't be told something that's wrong and then perform or do what is right. It's impossible to do that, as I stated, unless you have believed the preaching of the gospel of Christ and been baptized into the church of Christ. You are not saved, nor can you be saved. Whatever church you're in, we beg you, come out of it before it be too late. Because when you die, it's too late. After death comes the judgment of God. There's no second chance. Don't listen to the Catholics. There is no chance of being prayed out of condemnation and torment. If you die in purgatory, you're going to be in purgatory. There's no coming out. Jesus taught that valuable lesson when he taught his disciples about the death of the rich man and the death of the man Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19 through 31. He told the rich man who wanted some relief, he said, Lazarus can't come where you are, and you can't come where Lazarus is. There's a great expanse that is fixed. It separates, and neither one can go from one place to the other. Your dead relatives can't pray you out of hell after you die believing false doctrine. The Catholic doctrine is false doctrine, and the Catholics can't pray you out. The Pope can't save you. You see, we need to stay with the Church of Christ. Christ died for his church, Acts 20 and 28. Christ died for his church, paid for it with his blood. That's the church you want to be a member of. And you can only do it by obeying the gospel. You can't join the Church of Christ.
Amen.
You have to be baptized or born again into the spiritual church of God. That's the only way
Amen.
You can get in. And Christ adds you to the church because of your faith, belief, and obedience to his gospel. That's how it happens. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How were they
Amen.
Being saved? Acts 2, 41. They that gladly received his word, that is, believed and obeyed, were baptized, and there were about 3,000 souls added to the Church of Christ that day.
Amen.
And that day, and from that day even to this day, those who believe and obey the gospel of Christ and are baptized into Christ are added to the church, the spiritual family of Christ. It's
Amen.
The spiritual kingdom of Christ. Don't let the Jehovah's Witness lie to you. The kingdom
yes.
of Christ is already here. The apostles and many of the New Testament prophets wrote and spoke of being in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, the apostle John said, I was in the Lord, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the patience and the kingdom and the tribulation. John said he was
yes.
in the kingdom. If he was in the kingdom in 93 A.D., then you can be in the kingdom in 2016. The kingdom is not coming. It's already here. As a matter of fact, in the Revelation letter, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 2,
Amen.
John was writing the words of Christ. He says, the kingdom of heaven is with men. What does that mean? God's grace, God's salvation has come into the life of man on earth. And
Amen.
We can be a part of his salvation today. That salvation, that grace that appeared is here today to save each of us. Paul wrote to the Colossian church, Colossians 1:13, says we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, that is the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of eternal damnation, and have been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God's dear Son. When you obey the gospel, you're being translated, or you're being transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That happens today, ladies and gentlemen. It's not
yeah.
coming in the future. It's already here. God bless each and every one. Brother Parker and Brother Parker the Fourth, I turn it back over to you.
Yes. Is Brother Johnson on? Hello, is Brother Johnson there? Brother Parker Ford,
it seems that Brother Johnson didn't make the call tonight.
He didn't? Oh, okay. Okay, because I had called him in. But what we're teaching now and what Brother Williams has done a perfect job. He's done a wonderful job on teaching about the church. And this is what we call denominationalism. All of these churches out here with names that are not even in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you right now, where is your headquarters? And all
yes.
of these denominationalistic churches have headquarters on planet Earth.
Yes.
Are
yes.
you going to go to hell? You know that. Because if your headquarters isn't in heaven now, sitting on the right hand of the Father, you are on your way to hell right now.
Bible
Amen. Chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, need a prayer for thee alone, but for them also which have believed on me to their word. That
Amen.
They all may be one as thou, Father, and in me, and in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the
yes.
world may believe that thou hast sent me. If you're not in the church of Christ, the only church in the Bible, you're not in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Some group of people who put it there, who built it for themselves, the headquarters are on earth. All the money flowing all the way on up to them. And they're in it for the monies and for all that they can lie and tell you what to do. If there's someone listening in now, call us now and prove to us that your church came out of the Bible. You'll
yes.
never find that there wasn't but one church that came out of the Bible. All of the rest of the churches are holistic satanic churches. There's a lot of people in the Catholic Church, and they really love the Catholic Church to death because of the way
yeah.
they speak and act and behave in front of you. They're real freaking smooth, but you're dealing with the headquarters of the biggest church on planet Earth.
Yeah.
People like to be there. You see, going to hell is the simplest thing in the world to do. All you got to do is do whatever pleases you. And forget about God. Just whatever make me feel good. You know, there are a whole bunch of people now trying to get off that dope. It used to make them feel good, make them feel like they were in heaven, feeling good. I said, and they're just walking around in another world. But that came to an end. Look at it now. It is pathetic. They got hooked on some drugs down there in Houston not too long ago, in Herman Park, on some of that foul stuff, and they had to be rushed to the hospital, almost killing all of them. We need to know the gospel of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you know something? When you think about it, you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those two men preached the word of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We have members and ministers in the church, we must preach the gospel.
Amen.
A lot of people don't like it, but we're going to preach it nevertheless. Because the power of the word of God is there. You see, we know that if you preach it, the Holy Spirit is the power behind the word of God.
Power in the word.
Yes, sir. God makes what he wants to make happen with it. He said, preach the words, Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word, be instant in season. Preach it when they like it, be instant out of season. Preach it when they don't like it.
Amen.
People don't like the word of God now. They don't like it. But God going to fix it the way he's going to like it. And wish that you would have done the right thing when it'd be too late. And to do it, you
too late.
Do it now.
Amen.
Now is the acceptable time. Put Christ on in baptism. You come to
that's
God
right.
by his word, believing his word, repenting of your sins, confessing
yes.
Christ to be the Son of God, and then being buried in the water to give a baptism for the remission thereof. All
yes.
your bad sins will be washed away. You raise up out of the water a new creation in
yes.
Christ.
Amen.
Then you can walk right, live right, die right, and go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't do that, you're going to hell. And I
want
to tell you what in hell is it that you want? A lot of people, all that talk, but I want to know what in hell do you want?
All right.
They came back to reality, what they wanted to go back to hell for. I think that's going to be a one-time thing, a day of judgment. And if you get caught up and God send you to hell, you're going to suffer eternally in hell. And the thing, now, if you think there's a good thing in hell, the only good thing in hell is there's nothing good, but if you think there's something good, you will have a body that can never be burned up in hell. You're going to suffer eternally. And that fire is not going to burn your soul up. Your soul will never die in hell. But if we live right, die right, heaven will be our home. And your soul will never die in heaven. It will be blessed eternally.
Well, forever.
Now, what in hell do you want? You know, it's up for two. A lot of people are smoking that dope. I remember when I was back in school, oh, that's when it got hot during my generation. It was just bad, bad, bad. Everybody thought so good to get hot. Then all of a sudden they became homeless and hungry and begging out on the streets and living, sleeping in old raggedy buildings under trees and everything. Then they suddenly lost. But what getting hot was all about.
All right.
And from them, many of them died that I knew. I knew there was plenty that you knew that died. Some might still be out there in homes somewhere, living in one of the state homes or something like that, or in the prison living, but they can't get no more dope up in that prison. They used to get some in there, but now that's out. You got to overcome it. And if you ever been to a rehab center, there are people fighting like crazy to stay away from that dope. The rest of their lives, they have to go to the center to be motivated to keep on staying away from that drug. You
all
know,
right.
What in hell is it that you want? Come to church, obey the gospel of Christ. Live right. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Do the right thing to everybody and anybody. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And you'll live the most prosperous life you could ever live on this planet. And when I say prosperous, I'm talking about money. I'm talking about a happy life. God will supply you with your needs. It doesn't mean that your bankroll will be so fat, but you'll have a spiritual first life on this earth. Live the best life you could have ever lived in Christ Jesus and die and go to heaven. Where the riches are, walking on the streets of gold. Wonderful place to go. You want to go somewhere? I don't. Even Trump and all of the billionaires, they don't have homes that you will have in heaven. Jesus and God do the way to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back and receive you unto myself. But where I am, you may be also. Learn that lesson for us right now. You know, you'll be blessed on that, but you'll never get a place to live in like heaven. I don't care what you mean, who you think you are, you can never get a place like you can get in heaven. Streets of gold. How many streets you see on earth made of gold? None. That's what we're living this life down here for as Christians. And a lot of times people don't like Christians, but they can't do nothing about it. All you got to do is keep living right. God will take care of your enemy. He'll fight you.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. God will make a way out of no way for his people. God will do that. Behold, I put three in that fire, but I see four. And one looked like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar threw him in the fire to burn him up. He threw him in there and he started walking around with the fourth person. You know, that's the kind of life we need here on planet Earth. You know, people will talk about you, lie on you, and do everything they can do to try to destroy you as a Christian. But they can never do that, not on their own. They can't do it.
That's right.
God takes care of his own. And even when we die peaceably. Amen.
Amen.
That live right,
die right.
I remember Sister Nyla Lewis. She lived to be 101 or 102 years old. And she took that she was still getting up and get up. She was living by herself, cooking for herself. And then she got her down, caught on fire one morning when she was cooking breakfast, and that kind of put her down. But she would go visit with her, and she said, look, I'm just waiting to go see Jesus. Just with the suffering and all, I'm just going to see Jesus.
Powerful faith.
That is wonderfully done.
Yes.
How many more people I was running into over like that in my whole life? Again, just waiting. That's what she'd be there praying. When you go see her in the bed or sick at home or whatever, she'd just be praying. I'm just waiting to go see Jesus. And she can get up and walk around and still do with all the suffering that she was going through. My Lord, my Lord. Now, we can go through some suffering from finances, but what about when you get the sicknesses or get hurt or something? Can you be happy?
Yes.
Going to walk around.
Suffer for Christ.
Suffer for Christ.
She was living in the name of Jesus. And
that's what we're going to have to do. Now, we got to get it right. There's not but
one church in the Bible.
Any person that is not a member of the one church that's in the Bible is going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Billions and billions of people, too. Because, see, they care less about that.
Billions.
It's all about Satan here. Who made us one time a great nation and people were making more money than they ever made before. All that kind of just living for the money and living for the good time they could do and all the alcohol they could buy and all the dope they could buy. But look at us now. We're on the way down. We got the faith in Christ. Those of us who have been living in Christ, now we can see it. The writing of God is on the walls of America. Because the Supreme Court put the stamp of approval that this nation is going to fall and it won't be long.
Man,
our supreme authority here told God he was allowed to women who get married. To women who get married. You're allowed, God, is what they said. And we're suffering for it as a nation. Now, as Christians,
keep
living the right life in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Live that
Amen.
Life. Do as God has commanded you to do, and God
yes,
will be yelling.
Yes.
And you want a wonderful life. Your brother John, you know?
Well, you missed us tonight.
Huh?
Oh, you missed us tonight. Oh, amen.
Well, look, why don't you close us out, Brother Williams?
All right. Well, I'll be glad to do that. I believe Brother Parker the Fourth might want to have a word. Would you refer to close us out, Brother Parker?
Brother Parker Fourth is young.
Well, we're going to close it out. We're going to close it out because we're running out of time now. Brother Parker Jr., I want to reiterate and piggyback on some of the things that you said, and I want to make a point that you mentioned. Unless we are obedient to the gospel of Christ, and are baptized into the church of Christ, we're not going to be saved. There
Amen.
Is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Salvation
Amen.
Is only in Christ. Salvation is only in the name of Christ.
Amen.
Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Any other what? Any other name, because there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved by the name and in the name that is by the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the one. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the eternal life. No man can come to God except he come by my authority, through me.
Yes.
I'm the one. I am the door of the sheep. All the sheep that God, all the sheep of his pasture have to come in through the door. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the Savior. He is the one that saves us. He is the living God. He is the living God who is the Savior of all men. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. We are members of the church of the living God. Who is the living God? Jesus Christ, the Savior of all men, is the living God. We are members of the church of Christ. There is no other name. There is no other church. There is no other way. There is no other truth. Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, Jesus dropped off. God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth. Jesus is the spiritual living word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. So when we look at it, it's all about Christ. If you're missing, if anybody misses that, they are messed up. And as Brother Parker, you mentioned earlier, if you don't die in Christ, you'll believe in him in the day of judgment, but it'll be too late. There's going to be a whole lot of folk. The whole world going to repent in the day of judgment, but it'll be too late for the world. Because it's too late. Once you die, your fate is sealed. That's what the lesson that Jesus taught about the rich man and Lazarus. When you die, your fate is sealed. Nobody can pray you out of hell into heaven. And nobody can pray you out of heaven into hell. There is no such thing. There is no halfway house. It's either heaven or hell. That's all that is prepared. If you are prepared for heaven, you will go to heaven. If you are unprepared for heaven, you will go to hell. You don't have to do anything to get prepared for hell. All you can just walk around and live your life and die and leave this world, and you already prepared for hell. If you want to be prepared for heaven, you got to obey God. You got to obey Christ. You got to follow his will. Jesus is the one. That's the one. Jesus is the only one. You can't follow the preacher. You can't follow the reverend. You can't follow the pope. You got to follow Christ.
Amen.
Christ died for you. Christ is the Savior. The pope didn't die for you. The pope didn't even die for himself. The pope and the priest and the reverend and the pastor need the same Savior that you need.
Amen.
We all need the same Savior. That's why we got to give honor to God. I will not give flattering titles to men. That honor belongs to God. Revelation chapter 1:11, verse 9. He hath sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is God's name.
Amen.
God is the one who sent redemption through the blood of Christ. God is the one who has commanded his covenant, has given us a covenant of grace and salvation. God's name is reverend, not man. I will not give flattering titles to man. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 7, 8, and 9. Call no man your father on the earth.
Amen.
Your father is in heaven. There is no priest, no man, no pope, no bishop, or anybody that I will call father in religion. He is not my religious father.
Amen.
My religious father is God. That's the only father. Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one God and father of all who is in all and through all. There is only one, and it's not the pope. Jesus Christ is the father of our faith. He is the begetter of our spiritual life. James 1:18, he begat us by the word of truth, the word of his power. See, there's power in the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is the truth. That's how he begat us. That's how he saved us. That's how we became his child, when we obeyed it. Not when we heard it, but when we obeyed it.
Yes,
a lot of folks, Brother Parker, have heard the gospel, but haven't obeyed it. And if you wait till you die, it'll be too late.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, God bless you. It's time to close out this hour of preaching,
yeah.
Hour of power. And, you know, we just need to tell our radio and our internet audience good night. We need to pray and pray that by the grace of God and by the power of His Spirit that somebody will listen, receive, believe, and obey the gospel before their life is over. Because after you die, you have had it if you have not obeyed Christ and His will.
Amen.
God bless you, brethren. Brother Parker, you want to take us out with a prayer?
Yes, we'll do that. Father God, we come humbly bowed before that throne of grace. Thank you for this program, and thank you for this day that you've granted unto us to put it online, Father. Bless somebody, as Brother Williams has stated, that may be touched some kind of a way by hearing this word and obeying it before it's everlastingly too late for them to be saved, Father. Bless them. Bless these lessons. Bless this program. Bless Brother Parker the Fourth and Brother Robbins and Brother Johnson and all that are connected with it, Brother Brown, who brings us on every night that we're on. Be with us, Father. Bless us. We beg this prayer in Jesus' name. Let us all
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes,
amen. 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 Good night, brethren.
Good night.